We can now identify the suspect in custody being questioned by law enforcement. Again, the case wrapped up by the FBI, ATF Secret Service. The suspect is being identified to us as a Cesar Sayoc, 56 years old, of Aventura, Florida.
720 WGN, Pete McMurray, Jane Monsaris in the Allstate Skyline Studios. Our next guest, one of our favorites. Today, they arrested the pipe bomb suspect, and on the phone with us, you can see him on ABC News. He's a former FBI agent. It is Steve Gomez. Is it the right term, FBI agent, Steve?
Yes, FBI agent and FBI special agent as well. Yeah, we go by both.
Okay. Thank you. How have you been? I haven't talked to you in a while.
Well, it's been a very busy week ever since Monday. Once the Soros package was found, we've been kind of, you know, quite busy dealing with this and trying to figure out what's going on. And I'm glad it's been brought to an end.
So when that first package is found and they realize, oh, wait, this is an explosive device. This is a bomb. The FBI gets called in. What happens? Like, do you take that bomb immediately to forensics? Are you on a team of people that you're calling everyone on the phone going, all right, how do we get this started?
Well, anytime you have an explosive device, it's a concern because that means you have a bomb maker. And when there's a bomb maker, the name in and of itself concerns you because they make bombs. And so anybody who's a bomb maker has the capability of creating all kinds of havoc, injuries, death. And so you respond to that immediately, and the bomb technicians that we have in this country right now are just amazing. I mean, they've come so far along from decades ago. They're able to work together not only with traditional investigators, tactical teams. Everybody is very integrated, so when they get on the scene, they get the bomb, and they take it, and they secure it, and if they got to blow it up, they blow it up, but they do forensic work on that device to try to figure out what were the materials, what was the structure, get as much evidence as they can, DNA, prints, things of that nature, that they learn from it. And the bomb techs nowadays, they don't just take apart the bombs, they learn how to build the bombs, and that's part of their training.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, it's amazing.
Well, and Jane and I were talking about this earlier, Steve. This started on Monday, and it ended this morning. I mean, that's very impressive.
It is. It was an incredible amount of work that was done in a short period of time, especially given the amount of evidence that had been developed. I mean, there were 12 devices up until the point of the arrest. I mean, that's a lot of evidence that needed to be poured through and carefully analyzed, but they were able to do it in such a short amount of time, especially the FBI lab where they were able to get the fingerprint and then start doing the matching on that. So it's really amazing work by all of the law enforcement agencies that were involved in this, and the public, the Postal Service employees. Everybody had a hand in helping out and making sure that nobody was hurt from this situation.
So when they find that fingerprint, do they, and they match it which is the suspect, and they realize, oh, he's in Florida, does then the FBI work with the Florida Department of Law Enforcement?
Yes, absolutely. You're pretty much, once that fingerprint got matched, they're off to the races, so to speak. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know who, you know, the potential suspect is. And once that happens, I mean, it's very difficult to basically disappear in this country. I mean, you're gonna be found, or at least we're gonna know where you last lived, what car you last drove, and a lot of things about a person are just gonna be obtained right away. And that's what they did, and they were able to determine what the phone number was that was registered to him.
Jeez.
And then you start doing the tracking on that.
Yep.
So then you could figure out where is the person, and they had announced, I believe it was yesterday, that the hostage rescue team for the FBI, which is based in Quantico, Virginia, had been deployed down to South Florida. When I heard that yesterday, I said, okay, we're real close, mm-hmm. because HRT gets deployed usually when we know that there's a suspect. I'm surprised, quite frankly, that got out into the media, because most you know, regular people don't know that. But you know, when I heard that, I thought, oh man, they're close.
There we go.
And that's what they had out there. Exactly.
Pete and I were giggling at each other when you said that, because we're like, wow, that's so professional and secret. Now we know about it.
I feel like the media finds out. Somebody wants to always tip off the media, Steve, don't they?
Oh yeah.
There's always somebody.
Yeah, I'm serious. I couldn't believe that they announced that. I mean, you know, you just don't say HRT is out there in a case like this, because, you know, everybody knows who HRT is. I mean, there's SWAT teams all over the country. HRT, they get deployed all over the world for special missions. They train a lot. They're highly specialized, not only for tactics and entry and firearms, weapons, but also in working with bomb technicians, hazardous materials, and so on. They're well-trained and well-coordinated for that.
We're talking with former FBI agent, now current ABC News contributor, Steve Gomez. So they found a fingerprint on the package that was sent to Congresswoman Maxine Waters. They traced it. They traced his fingerprints. They went and got him. This guy was living in a van. Where was he building the bombs?
At his mom's house.
We haven't heard where he's been building the bombs. I highly doubt that it was in the van, but you never know. I mean, the fact is, these bombs were, and we don't even want to call them bombs. We want to call them explosive devices.
Right.
Because, they were really crude. I mean, they're using the term functioning, but it's all a matter of to what extent. I mean, how do you categorize functioning? I mean, functioning, somebody gave me an example. Functioning is if you took some black powder and just, you know, poured it in a line and then lit a match at the very end. That is functioning. Now, is that going to hurt anybody? No. So now it was the same situation with these devices. They contain black powder. They had some, glass, you know, ground up glass,
right,
and so on. But from what we understand, we haven't heard anything about like ball bearings or bolts or screws, you know, things like that that are typically used for shrapnel. And these were plastic pipes, not metal pipes, which, you know, metal will create the shrapnel. And they didn't have what they call confinement, which is like they weren't very much intact where they're tight. So when they do explode, there's a lot of pressure and it's going to blow. So those were some of the things, from what I understand, are not necessarily in these devices. So then it's a question of, you know, was he an amateur? Did he really not know what he was doing? And he was living in his van at this time.
Right.
So it's possible that he was building them right there in the van.
Yeah.
If they were this crude.
And they did say that he's been spending a lot of time at his mother's home. Is why I said he built them at his mom's house. I read that they said he's been spending a lot of time in his mom's house. So we're there now.
I wonder if she knew.
I don't know. I don't know if she knew. Is it too early to discuss the motive?
No. I don't think it's too early. I mean, I think we have to, you know, really start thinking about it. We don't want to jump to too many conclusions. That van had a lot of stickers, a lot of political.
Ridiculous. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, yeah, and a lot of political stickers that were all over the place, you know, pro-Trump stickers, anti-CNN and so on. I mean, we know who he sent the devices to in the mail. They were all prominent Democrats. So, you know, what does that tell you? I mean, again, it's still early in the investigation with regards to the motive, whether he's going to actually give a statement, or if he doesn't cooperate and give an interview, then it's a matter of looking at all of his electronic devices, all of his social media. Is already showing us what his political ideology was, so I think, you know, we're already kind of coming to a little bit of an assessment of what that motive is, but still we've got a lot more work to do on that. But you know, there's already that indicator, very different than where we were about 2 days ago. I can tell you
his Twitter account had the same misspellings as the front of the packages.
Yeah.
I mean, you know,
yep. That's how they put the two together.
I don't think this guy was very bright.
I don't either.
No. And you know, here's something that we were talking about earlier, is that the fact that there are some suspects in crimes that really could care less if they're caught. They don't care if they're sloppy.
Yeah.
And the reports were that when the law enforcement approached him, that he had this look on his face, or just his demeanor was that, oh, you know, I was waiting for you guys, you know, like he knew he was going to get caught at some point. So that's just the reality. Some suspects, they're going to commit their crimes and then they're just going to sit there and they're going to just give up. We've seen this actually with some active shooters. When they go in and if they have a specific target, school shooters in certain cases, they go in, they have a specific target or two, they shoot those targets, and then they just stand there. Sometimes they kill themselves, sometimes they just sit there and wait and give up.
Because they know.
In this case, that might have been what was happening.
Wow.
Well, yeah, my question's not, it's not even serious. after that tone. Steve, when you're with all the your FBI buddies, like on a day like today, like when you're standing around, what do you guys talk? I'm sure you're not standing around. You're very busy. What are you guys talking about? What do you say?
Well, I can tell you some of the emails that I was getting.
Yes,
you know, the FBI wins. and really for me, it's law enforcement. It's a law enforcement
yes.
wins.
The good guys
succeeded because that's what this was. I mean, I know
within
that everybody
4 days.
That was involved in this.
I mean, that's crazy. A nationwide search. They found this guy in 4 days. 4 days.
Yeah. It's amazing, and everybody was working 24/7. This was nonstop here.
Yeah,
I mean, it's
yeah.
the FBI. Of
I
course,
understand
they're going to catch the guy. In 4 days.
Here's a question for you, Steve, former FBI agent. President Trump in September called the FBI corrupt. Today, he praised the FBI. You worked for the FBI for years and years. Give me your feelings about when the president spoke today.
Well, it made me feel very proud. I was proud for all of my buddies over there that, people that I still have lunch with. We go to the retired agent luncheons and, and get together and everything. I mean, the last one was several months ago and Chris Ray, the director, was there.
Don't tell him he's going to want to join in the next one.
Well, I have a...
you want me to take you?
I'm not kidding.
He will show up.
You let me know and I'll take you. Let me know, get my phone number out.
Yeah, I'd love to go. I mean, the big joke on the show is I always
come out there and we'll go to the Chicago one. I know
I
got a bunch of buddies in Chicago.
You
want to come to Los Angeles?
Oh, I'd have a ton
Steve,
of questions.
You are asking for it, friend.
I'd have a ton of questions. Jane always makes fun of me, Steve, because I get people's phone numbers and I just text them like crazy. And the reason that I love you is, number one, you're so passionate about it on the air and you paint such a great picture because you worked for the FBI. But you respond right away, and you're like, this is what we're going to talk about. This is what we're going to do. I'm like, fantastic.
Yeah,
how about tonight? And perfect.
Yeah.
I love it.
I can tell you, I've been in briefings. I've been in briefings in the FBI. At the FBI, a lot of times you're doing briefings. You're constantly briefing your superiors. And as I got to the level of SAC, we were briefing the director. And when I worked at headquarters, we were briefing the director or the assistant director. And so it's all about painting that same picture for the director, the assistant director, or whoever your superior was. You had to paint that picture. It had to be very clear because decisions had to be made based on that picture that you were preparing. And there was a lot of preparation for those briefings. Sometimes we'd have the briefing before the pre-briefing, before the briefing to the director. I mean, you can ask anybody that's worked at headquarters. That's exactly the way it went. We had to have a briefing for the briefing going to the director.
Now, when
that's
you
great.
Watch,
it's like every office we work in.
When you watch the TV show Ozark and you see how crazy that FBI agent is in season 2, do you say to yourself, "I would never do that"?
Well, I don't. I try not to watch a lot of television, especially with law enforcement, because I usually turn it off. I get so irritated
because it's not true.
I rarely watch law enforcement. My wife says that all the time. She's like, "My God, give it a chance." But
come on.
Well, and see, that's all we know. Like, we're watching Law and Order, we're watching Ozark, we're watching Homeland, and we're thinking, "Oh wow, this is they got the briefing before the briefing, and then they're going to go tell this person, and that's happening over there, and they got a fingerprint." And
it's, one of the best shows that I've ever watched was The Wire. That I can tell you. Right.
The only
that
show I didn't watch.
That was the best show that depicted law enforcement and the way we would conduct court-ordered wiretaps, the way we would do surveillance, the way we would use informants, all of that, undercover operations on the streets. It was absolutely amazing. We always, everybody at the FBI would talk about how whoever was doing the consulting on that show did a fantastic job. They were dead on accurate. But I can tell you one thing about this situation this week. It is very similar to, this is as close as you can get to the show 24. Okay, I've been in operations like this where from start to finish, you were running and gunning and just nonstop for 24, 48, 72 hours. Mm-hmm. That is exactly what they were doing here, and it was like it's a blur. It's literally a blur when you look back, and it's nonstop. It doesn't happen like that all the time. I mean, it's like 1% of the cases get started and finished within a few days, and they did it in this case, probably the biggest case that the FBI's had in since 9/11. Because and the reason for that, you had a lot of these devices. They were impacting our political system.
Yep.
you don't get much more important than that,
right?
And so they had to handle it this way, and they did.
And so who plays Kiefer Sutherland?
By the way, your comparison to 24, Kiefer never charged his phone or went to the bathroom. Going back to what you said, the unsung heroes, you don't know about these men and women that work 24/7 that save the United States. I mean, save these people, and, you know, they get these domestic terrorists. That's their job, and they do it every single day.
And we're grateful
God
for
bless
them.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And Chris Wray, he represented the FBI very well today. I mean, you know,
he did. Great press conference. Yeah.
Great press conference. When he got up there, he's representing every man and woman working at the FBI and all of law enforcement on the Joint Terrorism Task Force. He was representing all of them. When I was at the Bureau, and if one of us got up there and was speaking on behalf of the FBI and on behalf of everybody, you know, you were proud, because that could be anybody who's in charge, but they are representing every one of us, and so it was great to see him up there speaking the way he did, talking about the work that was done. It made you proud today.
Former FBI agent, now current ABC News contributor, Steve Gomez. I'll see you at the retired FBI agent luncheon very, very
soon. I'm not going to forget. I'm going to let you know. Both of you. You guys are invited.
Oh, thanks,
just text
Steve.
Me. Thank you, brother. Have a great night.
Okay. Thanks a lot. Have a great weekend.
All right. Thanks. It's 720 WGN.